1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. At least 45 people in a southern Gaza Palestinian tent camp are killed during an airstrike by Israel. Israel's prime minister calls it a tragic mistake. CBS's David Martin also reports tonight.
Israelis have told the U.S. the horrific death toll was caused by a piece of shrapnel which pierced a fuel tank, setting off a fire that engulfed a tent housing refugees. That, according to an administration official who said the U.S. has no independent confirmation of the Israeli account. The official also said, based on the intelligence the Israelis have shared with the U.S., they appear to have been going after a legitimate target, two senior Hamas commanders. He added, the Israelis appear to have struck their primary target, since Hamas has issued martyrdom statements for the two commanders.
Canada is calling for a ceasefire after the strike in Rafah, and diplomats say the UN Security Council is set to hold an emergency meeting tomorrow. At least 23 people, including two children, have died in storms that included tornadoes in portions of Texas, Arkansas, Oklahoma, Virginia, and Kentucky. Weather Channel meteorologist Mike Bettis reports the threat is not over.
A large area across the Northeast with a lot of storms right through the night, even early morning hours, and most of that clears by mid-morning tomorrow. Down into the south, including in Texas, some discrete supercells here. So what we're watching for, 75-mile-per-hour winds, and the possibility of some incredibly large hail with these storms.
As holiday travelers try to head home, more than 7,000 flights have been delayed within, into, or out of the U.S. today, and at least 518 flights have been canceled, according to FlightAware.com. CBS's Meg Oliver reports.
As millions of people try to get home tonight, the airport seeing the most delays and cancellations include Atlanta, New York, and here at Newark, with more than 100 flights delayed close to 2 hours.
Fearing further slips, Papua New Guinea is evacuating an estimated 7,900 people from villages near the site of a deadly landslide that is believed to have killed some 2,000 people. More from Scott Maiman.
The toll comes from the country's National Disaster Center. An entire village is believed wiped out.
The mudslides happened in a pretty remote part of PNG, in Enga province up in the highlands.
Australia's Deputy Prime Minister, Richard Marles.
There's obviously an assessment of exactly what has happened and what best can be done.
Australia's providing nearly $2 million US dollars in humanitarian aid, which includes relief supplies, shelter and hygiene kits. Scott Maiman for CBS News Canberra, Australia.
12 people are injured when a Qatar Airways plane flying from Doha to Dublin hit turbulence over Turkey. Dublin Airport says the plane landed safely as scheduled. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Seth here, host of Over the Back Fence. We're on the air live every Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., taking your calls to buy or sell, talk local events, or whatever, only on WFHR.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The National Weather Service is at Rock County to survey severe weather damage from Sunday. The damage is to large trees, which could have been done by tornadoes. The Weather Service investigation will focus on Janesville and Milton. Tornadoes may have also touched down in Whitewater and Fort Atkinson Sunday. A lot of people are on their way home from the busiest Memorial Day weekend for travel since the pandemic. 3.5 million Americans flew somewhere.
Last year, the cancellation rate was at a 10-year low. This year, so far, it's actually even better than last year, but we want to make sure that it stays that way. We're pressing the airlines to do their part.
U.S. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg speaking with WISN-TV's Up Front. This is Civic Media News.
The Brewers beat the Cubs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from American Family Field, where the Brewers put together a late-inning rally to beat Chicago 5-1 in front of over 41,000 fans at American Family Field. The play of the day, bottom of the eighth, Willie Adames at the plate, Brian Anderson with the call, Wisconsin Valley Sports.
Wisniewski deals, Adames center field, Bellinger on the run.
Adames on taking a swing with three balls and no strikes.
Well, I don't really like to swing 3-0, but today it's just the right opportunity at the right moment and the right situation. I think today we got the results we wanted.
Meanwhile, the Cubs' offensive drought continues. Manager Craig Counsell.
We talked about margin here in this low run scoring environment that you know, a couple weeks now.
From American Family Field with sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Evening showers and storms, then partly cloudy and low 50s overnight. Some sun to start tomorrow, then some afternoon showers once again. Highs in the mid-60s. Sunny and around 70 Wednesday. Thursday highs warm to the low 70s. Chance of rain as well. It's 60 right now.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, hit me, cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake. Hey, we talk about local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. And this portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, it's Friday, and we have State Senator Mary Kunish on. And State Senator, this has been a short but really long session, and I want to just welcome you back on. My goodness.
Well, ha matakayape. Thank you, Robert. Thank you, Haley. Yes, it has been a really interesting and unique session, to say the least.
Well, I'm a news junkie, and I imagine a lot of people that listen to the stations that we're on are somewhat, but I just look at the news with a magnifying glass, and when I see weird things happening, you know, on the floor, and the news kind of just says the Senate or the legislature, I see the Republicans going crazy. So I had to put some tobacco out for you this weekend. Thank you. Or this week.
Yeah, there was probably a lot of smudging going on this past week. I know I was imbibing in that as well. Our Minnesota legislature ended this past Sunday at midnight, and it ended with quite the bang, I can tell you that. It was pretty bizarre. It's like nothing... I think it's like nothing Minnesota has ever seen. And just to explain what we're talking about here, mm-hmm. We ended our session sine die at midnight Saturday or Sunday night, Monday morning, mm-hmm. As per the legislature. And it was a tough end to our session. We pretty much went 24/7 for about 3 or 4 days, literally taking 20-minute naps. I know I snoozed in my seat on the floor, not wanting to get far from there because of all the ruckus that the GOP members were up to. But just a little bit of background, in Minnesota Senate, we have a one-person majority. And we've had some incidences with different legislators who, you know, rightfully so, use that one person majority as some leverage to get some of the bills passed that they, you know, really are important for them. Mm-hmm. And we came up to the end of session, and the GOP were just obstructing the process. They continue to filibuster, talking about the most ridiculous things for hours and hours. I mean, some of the bills that the omnibus bills that we had to get through, they spent 6-8 hours just talking nonsense to kind of obstruct that bill from getting passed. And we're trying to negotiate leader, you know, power in the Senate. They wanted to be able to say what happens and what doesn't. They're in the minority. So the job of the minority is to, you know, push back as much as they can. But we had probably about 12 bills, 12 big omnibus bills from bonding, you know, dollars, cash money that needed to go out to communities for fresh water, for projects, for bridges, all sorts of things that needed to get done. At the end of the day, that didn't happen. And Health and Human Services, transportation, labor, the ERA, the Equal Rights Amendment, in Minnesota, I'm carrying the ERA bill that would not only have the strongest human rights opportunities, as well as concrete reproductive justice and freedom in our state constitution. They absolutely did not want that to happen. And so here we are with just a few hours left and having all these bills that haven't been passed because they're filibustering and being very obstructive and disrespectful to our president, disrespectful to the system, to the process. And so what we did is we ended up putting all of those bills into one big omnibus bill that we could just pass as a huge package. And we did that, and the Republicans went bananas. They were yelling, they were screaming, they were standing up, just, you know, chanting USA. I mean, it felt like January 7th all over again, January 6th all over again. It was really traumatic. And the same thing happened in the House. It was chaos. You can bet that some of us were very nervous. Some of the GOP members are carry guns into the Capitol and onto the floor and into committee. You know, who knows what they, we had no idea how that they were going to react like this. And so we ended with chaos. And that bonding bill came over from the House, tried to get that passed at the very last minute as they're yelling and screaming and trying to confuse the president of the Senate so that he couldn't do his job. And unfortunately, the bonding bill did not pass. If we had 30 more seconds, we could have done it. But the midnight, you know, it hit midnight and we were done. And I can tell you, we were all stunned. I mean, my ears were still ringing on Monday. Wow. And I think most of us left just almost, you know, traumatized by what had just happened. And we met a day or so ago to talk about it. And people were still, you know, our members, our DFL, our Democrats were still just reeling from what happened. And it was unprecedented, just unprecedented. So. Well,
I'm really glad that you're able to tell us that, because that isn't what we got from the news per se. You know, they talked about the omnibus bill and that the Republicans were upset about it, but the whole process to get to that bill that you explained really tells the true story. And really big Pinigigi Mary for State Senator Mary Kunish for telling our audience that, because I mean, it was insane. And I don't know if the news now, because they're all worried about clicks and, you know, views and all those things, that they're really reporting this, because I really appreciate you, because I knew something was up and they talk in vague. You know, it's just like with the president, you know, they've normalized his insanity now. And really, when it, you know, when it comes to president, are we voting for a nice guy or a rapist? I mean, that's the real question. And we never really get that question or a response from mass media.
Yeah, it's you know, I'm sure the media has to, you know, try to be nonpartisan in the things that they do and they say. If they weren't there and they weren't paying attention, they might not understand it the way, you know, somebody that lived through it would experience it. But it was just not good. And our GOP members will say we were just trying to, you know, stop something from happening. But everything we have in that omnibus bill are for the people of Minnesota. Fortunately, I got my education bill passed before all of this, you know, a day or two before that. But, you know, they did not want ERA. They did not want any gun bills. There are things that they were definitely, definitely trying to obstruct. And we had no choice. We had absolutely no choice.
Wow. Thank you so much for that report, really. And let's talk a little bit more about that. We're here with State Senator Mary Kunesh of the great state of Minnesota talking about what happened those last 24 hours of the insanity at our state capitol. And we'll be right back after this short break.
Unwanted sexting or photos, inappropriate jokes, even tickling or wrestling can feel like a violation. Catcalling, cornering, or groping, getting them drunk or high for sex. Recording sexual acts without permission. Hurting someone because of their sexual orientation. Raping a family member, a child, a date, a friend, a stranger. Purchasing a human being for sex. You make the choice every single time. Sexual violence is many things. Make a choice. Do not do it.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Signing up for $1 bus and train rides with the Transit Assistance Program or TAP is quick and easy. Do it straight from your computer or phone by uploading one of the pre-approved documents listed at metrotransit.org/TAP along with a copy of your ID. We'll mail you a go-to card with a full year of discounted rides. For questions or translation help, call 612-373-3333. That's 612-373-3333.
Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
J&S Bean Factory is a native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Yes, a great partner of Native Roots Radio, or Roots Radio. I'm still not clear on that, if it's Roots or Roots, but it's a great name of a radio show. Hey, we are here with State Senator Mary Kunesh, and we were talking about the last few hours or days.
Last hurrah.
Yeah, last hurrah, definitely, of the session. And I'm just blown away because it was worse than I thought, State Senator.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that words could ever describe what happened. And you could, you know, I'm sure you can go back and watch the ending of the session, both in the House and the Senate. The House did finally settle down, but in the Senate, they just kept going and they were making every effort to rattle our president of the Senate so that he couldn't get the bills through, couldn't hear the voting. It was not pretty.
Hey, Haley, I'm wondering if you could just give a little example, too, because I'm blown away by this and what I'm hearing They said they weren't filibustering, but I wonder if we can explain what this is.
Democrats come in here and try to blame us for the way this session ended. They're going to say, oh, they filibustered. Well, the truth is we didn't filibuster. Whether it's an eighth ounce, a quarter pounder, it's a half pounder, it's a third pounder. A burger just isn't a burger like this anymore, folks.
I like a McDonald's hamburger once in a while, but Wendy's every so often is good.
McDonald's, Burger King.
You've got Burger King, and I like the Junior Whoppers. That's my choice.
Hardee's, one of my childhood favorites.
Culver's is my wife's favorite. It's right on our way home from the cities here. That's her hamburger place of choice.
The burger has been brought up a number of times. Wendy's, Arby's,
Chili's, Applebee's. Our Princeton golf course does a nice job.
Burgers and everything.
That's our elected officials on the other side of the table. Not filibustering, state senator. No.
Right. And for those who don't know what filibustering is, it's where when they have the floor, they can talk about and as long as they want. Mm-hmm. And that's what they just continue to do for hours and hours and hours on end. And it was the same thing in the Senate. They just pass it from one of their people to the next. Mm-hmm. And it's you know, full intention is to prevent bills from getting passed and moving on. So it was not pleasant.
Well, you know, and we won't talk any more about this the rest of the show, because I know you went through some trauma, too, when we didn't get anything done a few years ago because we had a Republican Senate. And we'll switch into talking to positive, because, oh, my gosh, I don't want you to live through that again. I'm kind of getting like, what the heck?
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, you know, let's talk about, all the great stuff that did happen this session. And I know there was a lot of things happening, Mary.
Yeah, there were just a lot. And it always blows my mind at the end of session when you sit back and you start, you know, going through the bills and seeing what good things and positive things happened. We put a lot of money into literacy in education. This session was another really good one for Indian country in Minnesota. We were able to get a piece of land, a parcel of land back to the Mille Lacs Band of Ojibwe, and allocated $750,000 to cover the cost of returning what was rightfully theirs to them. And I was really proud to carry that bill. We passed legislation that allows smudging in public schools. I know St. Paul kind of led that effort a couple of years when
John Boblin.
He was the one who put it through, and I was glad to be there that evening when the St. Paul School Board passed that and allowed that. It was a good example. We also made sure that our students who leave are out of school to attend tribal spiritual or religious ceremonies. We made sure those are excused absences, because a lot of times they were not considered an excused absence. And I remember when I was teaching, and a student would be gone for a few days for ceremony, or, they had gone up north for the summer and were still ricing and school started. And yes, they missed a few days of school, but these would allow some of those things to be excused absences. We, of course, had MIFPA Part 2 this past year. And thank you again to Rebecca McConkie Green and all of those lawyers and advocates that worked so hard on reinforcing the Minnesota Indian Family Preservation Act. Mm-hmm. We codified more important things into the law that we passed last year. I think there will be a MIFPA Part 3 as well. This might be never ending, but it works. It's beginning to work better for our tribes and for our families and for our kids. And that's what we want at the end of the day. Another really big important thing that I was able to get passed was to require counties to offer the tribes the first right of refusal to purchase tax forfeited lands that are within the reservation boundaries. So that, you know, with the checkerboarding that happened, it opened up all those pieces of land and private citizens could buy it. Companies could buy, you know, for timber or resources, all of those sort of things. So now we are requiring the tribe to get the very first opportunity to purchase those tax forfeited lands within their boundaries, which is so important. I mean, here they are having to buy back their land, but if that's what it takes to get those lands back. There were two other land back bills that I carried. One was for White Earth to return the White Earth forest that is almost totally within the boundaries of the reservation.
Right.
And had been taken by the state and managed. And, you know, all the lumber sales, because it's huge lumber opportunity, any fishing rights, any hunting rights, any snowmobile license that were purchased, any of those things, those did not go back to the tribe. Those went to the DNR. And so we're trying to get that back under the management of the White Earth folks. And then Red Lake, that portion of the lake that was sort of cut off with the treaty, they were cheated out of the full lake.
Right.
And that's the other one. Those two we did not pass. There's a lot of work that still needs to go into getting those lands back.
Mm-hmm.
But we're starting that conversation, and it's not like the tribes hadn't been talking about it with the DNR. The DNR say, well, we didn't know this was going to happen. It didn't come out of the blue. There were conversations, but it just wasn't moving along. And so this will get that conversation going. And we're going to ask the DNR, like, what is your process when a tribe comes to you and says, we'd like to get these lands back. How do we do it? What is the DNR's process? What is their timeline? Because if they, you know, put it off. I mean, look how long it took to get Upper Sioux back to them.
Right.
18 years Chair Jensvold worked on that. That's unreasonable in my books by any measure of time. In the White Earth bill, we did put 5 years to complete that within 5 years. But of course, again, that didn't pass. But we will continue to work on that for sure.
With Red Lake, we have Bob Lake from Red Lake on with the Solar Bear with the Solar News, and he remembers them talking about it when he was a little kid that they wanted that land back, and they started that process, and that was 50 years ago.
Yep.
At least
50 years ago. And there's just no reason. Well, there are reasons that they you know, drag their feet on these things and don't want to get that back, because that's a lot of money and a lot of land that's now not in their control. But I think we need to do the right thing. And that's definitely what on our to-do list. And I think now the DNR is going to just have to start thinking about how to do this a lot differently. And I think that's really, really important.
Absolutely. I know in the midst of you being in session, we celebrated 100 years of being citizens in our own country.
Isn't that nuts?
Yes.
We just had, you know, on, thank you, Derry, on the American Indian Day on the Hill here at the Capitol, that was a big theme of discussion about the 100th anniversary of
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on Air. CBS News brief. At least 45 people are reported dead after an Israeli airstrike set fire to a tent camp housing displaced Palestinians in the southern Gaza city of Rafah. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says through an interpreter,
despite our best effort not to harm those uninvolved, there was a tragic mishap last night. We are investigating the incident. We will draw conclusions because this is our policy.
23 deaths are blamed on severe weather that hit five states, including Kentucky, over the weekend. WEVV-TV's Emily Fazenbaker reports from Charleston.
Fallen power lines, over 100-year-old trees thrown, and houses leveled. The community is still shocked at what they see.
Weather has impacted flights as travelers head home this holiday. More from Odyssey New York reporter Darius Radzius.
Many flights here on the departures board at LaGuardia Airport show delays. Storms forcing thousands of flights across the country to be canceled or delayed.
CBS News Brief. I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Cuts are coming to another Wisconsin college. Viterbo University in La Crosse is trying to lower expenses. 27 jobs are going away. Viterbo's president says enrollment is shrinking and the university's deficit is growing. The Biden administration is expanding health coverage to children of immigrants in the DACA program. DACA participants in the U.S. are three times more likely than the general population to be uninsured. Aline Yuriko Badillo Carrillo is in the DACA program.
Not just for me, but I think it's a communal benefit. If I have access to medical care, then I'll be able to be healthier, and then I'll be able to help others.
Badillo Carrillo says immigrants and their families work many jobs vital to the economy. This is Civic Media News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Morgan Spurlock, who lampooned the fast food industry with his documentary Supersize Me, has passed away. Yahoo Entertainment reports the Academy Award nominee died due to complications from cancer. Spurlock showed the effects that an all-fast food diet had on his body and mind. He was 53. Let's stick with gluttony. All great competitors should know when to step down. Such is the case with competitive eater Kobayashi, who claims in his career that he has eaten over 10,000 hot dogs. I actually thought that would be more. Kobayashi once consumed 50 hot dogs in 12 minutes, shattering the previous record of 25 1/8 hot dogs in the same amount of time. The athlete says after eating competitively, two words that should never be used together under any circumstances, for decades, he has no appetite. The moral of the story? If you cram as much food as you can into your pie hole for two decades, you'll eventually lose your appetite. And that's a great way to keep the weight off. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Evening showers and storms, then partly cloudy and low 50s overnight. Some sun to start tomorrow, then some afternoon showers once again, highs in the mid-60s. Sunny and around 70 Wednesday. Thursday highs warm to the low 70s, chance of rain as well. It's 60 right now.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
The morning show on WFHR. It's dangerous.
6% of our fellow Americans think that they could beat up a grizzly bear.
What? Oh, come on now.
I wouldn't fight Yogi Bear.
Hey, boo-boo. This guy's starting something. What's up?
Gonna take him out.
Don't come for the king unless you miss. Best not miss. Best not miss if you come for the king.
Weekdays from 8 to 10 on WFHR, locally grown radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Strong Hearts Native Helpline, safe, confidential, anonymous, 24/7.
Yes, they are. And boy, we had some really good shows with them this month. A lot of great information. Hey, we're here with State Senator Mary Kunish, and we were kind of talking. We had to cut her off because we only get a certain amount of time. But you had some really cool information. We were talking about Native rights and what I had the opportunity. And it's always great to see you during On the Hill Day for Native Americans. And you were came in and did a nice speech, and it was great to see you. And talk a little bit about that again. That was a highlight for me in this session.
Yeah, it was a highlight for me. It was a great distraction from the legislature. The MIAC, Minnesota Indian Affair Council, put together a day on the Hill, mm-hmm. and many of the tribal leaders were there. Folks came in to talk to their legislators about what was important to them and to Indian country, which was great. It's so important that we have that presence at the Capitol. And anyone in Minnesota or outside of Minnesota, I would really encourage you to every session, make an appointment with your legislator and, you know, go through the things that are important. Tell them what the struggles are, what our children need, what our women need, what our kids need, what our schools need. And, it, you know, if they don't see you there, you don't come to mind. And it just is so helpful for me to be able to say, I met with the leaders, or I had a phone call from one of your constituents that has an issue. And so it was beautiful. It was absolutely beautiful. And our Secretary of State, Steve Simon, was there to talk about how important it is to vote and how they are working. We're working really hard in Minnesota to ensure that you have opportunities to vote. One of the things that we did was to kind of create these pop-up voting sites, especially at universities, and our GOP members did not like that at all. So, you know, it's too bad that in this day and age, we still have to enforce voting rights for all of our, you know, folks in Minnesota and across the nation. But we've seen the attacks on voting and how they try to repress it, make all these crazy rules about you can only vote if you have an address, you know, like a street address, or you can only vote during these days. You can't have water when you're in line to vote. I mean, really ridiculous things. So Minnesota worked hard on enforcing that. And just this past week, there was a big gathering at the in Washington, D.C., that also worked on, you know, that had a public symposium speaking about how important it is that we use that power of the vote in Indian country, and remember that while we might be citizens of an Indian nation, we're also citizens of this great Turtle Island. And with that comes a responsibility. And my sister got to speak out there. She's working out there for the Biden administration. And there's a lot of good folks out there looking out for Indian country as well.
Right. And, you know, just to, you know, add on to what you're saying about these voting rights. I mean, we forget because we have such a short memory, but, you know, moving polling places, making them 50 miles away, you know, and that happens and happened to Indian country all over the United States during this last presidential election. It was insane. So bravo to Minnesota, right?
It is really important that we get access to our tribal nations for voting. And one way to do that is to talk to your county. It's the county that sets up these polling places. But we're working to broaden that opportunity in the best way possible, for sure.
Yeah. So I guess, you know, we got a last segment with you. And
So what I know before session, you were doing a lot of traveling to all the schools across the state, as many as you could get to, and just checking in. What are your plans now until the next session? I mean,
I'll be traveling a lot again, but this time nationally. There's a number of conferences, especially like the National Council of State Legislators. I'm on the board for that. And so we'll be meeting and talking about national issues. I'm also the chair of the American Indian State Legislators. And I just want to say that I'm really excited. We're going to have a conference here of all the national legislators in September or October. So I will keep you posted. And maybe you want to come and do a segment with them. But I think the opening of the conference will be at our new American Indian Center, which is really great.
Yeah.
And then I'm also on the Great Lakes Legislative Council. So we work with our Canadian counterpoints, looking at what are the issues around the Great Lakes and northern Minnesota and Michigan, Wisconsin. And we'll have a conference in Duluth, which will be really exciting. So those are some of the things that I get to do. Next week, I'm going out to Atlanta with this little one to watch her during my daughter's conference. So a lot of traveling.
That's awesome. Yeah. And we'd let us know about that conference too. Maybe we can do a live show or at least get down there and talk to some people that are on the show and that maybe we can get on the show in the future. Cause as you know, we're all over the place here with Native Roots Radio. Is it Roots or Roots, Haley? I'm not.
Either or.
Depends
where you live. Yeah, it's like creek or crick, you know?
Boots? Right.
Boots?
Auntie
or auntie. Yeah. Yeah, that would be great to get some of our national legislators on the radio. And I mean, the great thing about getting together is we hear about the unique challenges in each state and Indian country. And we can talk about what was successful and how we can, you know, use each other's legislation to create national movement. And so pretty exciting.
You know, in my experience with my job, I heard some things about California and ricing that I never, ever knew about. And the challenges that the tribes have out there because, you know, there's other entities out there that are, you know, doing wild rice and calling it certain things. And we have laws here in Minnesota protecting Native rights over ricing.
Yes, I worked really hard on that as well to ensure that our wild rice is not tainted by anything that's perhaps genetically altered.
Right.
But we have to, you know, it's a fine line between tribes that have those. Okay, just a second. the things that the wild rice that, you know, is naturally found on their lakes and it within their reservation. But then we have, other tribes that are trying to also expand the wild rice that might not naturally be found in their on their reservation, but they certainly should have access to that spiritual grain as well. So it's a fine balance no matter what we do, but we want to preserve the sacred grain that is the reason that our Anishinaabe relatives are here and also sustain us in so many ways.
Yeah. And I don't know if you can remind our audience too, they had what is it called? They were traveling until they found food on the water. Do you know that, State Senator, the story a little bit?
Yeah. So our Anishinaabe, our Ojibwe relatives, are originally from the East Coast back in the day. And there was a revelation. Just a second, buddy. a revelation that went to one of their elders, their spiritual advisors, that said, move east until you and stop where the food grows on the water.
Right.
And so, you know, over time they progressed further east and north, and lo and behold, came to the lands where the rice grows on the water, and that's where they resettled, and that's how we have our Anishinaabe relatives here in the lands that were originally the Sioux. So
Dakota, yeah. So they came west from the East Coast, right?
Pardon?
They came west from the East Coast.
Oh, excuse me, west. Yes. They came from the East Coast moving west. Yep.
Yeah. Well, and it's a very spiritual story, and wild rice is really part of their story and why they're here. And it's a great story, and it's been, you know, yeah. So what else? We got a couple more minutes here. What else would you like to say to our listening audience out there? I know we don't want to rehash this last couple days of the session, but how can our listeners support you? You know, it's hard. We talk about mental health, and when you talked about what happened, that was even more than what I thought happened.
Yeah. Well, what helps is actually talking about it and kind of processing it as well, and thinking about how we can prevent something like this from happening. But this is an election year in our country and in our state. Senators in Minnesota are not up for re-election, but our House members are. So look to those that are doing the good work, that are representing you in the best way. Reach out to them, ask them to, you know, how you can help them, whether it's donating to their campaign, door knocking, folding letters, whatever it is that you can do to support people that are doing the work in the very best way. And that's all we can really ask for our constituents.
Always a great show with you, State Senator Mary Kunish. Really, really appreciate all this inside information and everything you do. And it's a lot, you know. You've carried a lot of buckets of water for the Native community here in the state of Minnesota. And I wanted to say a big peeny gigi thank you so much.
Thank you. And I could use some help in the Senate if anybody ever decides to run in 2 years.
Haley.
Okay. Haley. Yeah.
Let's do it.
All right. Hey, it's Native Roots Radio. Up next, Wendy in our sacred animal section. We'll be right back after this short break.
Doherty Family College at the University of St. Thomas is your pathway to a bachelor's degree. Located in downtown Minneapolis, Doherty Family College offers an affordable education that includes free textbooks, a laptop, meals, career coaches, and a Metro Transit pass. As a full-time Doherty Family College student, you'll benefit from mentorship from St. Thomas faculty, along with paid internships and support from Minnesota's largest private college. Ready to turn your dreams into reality? Apply now at dfc.stthomas.edu. Doherty Family College, your journey to success starts here.
As nature awakens this spring, let's awaken to the call of protection. Native brothers and sisters, let's bloom together by getting vaccinated against COVID-19. Let's nurture our heritage and safeguard our futures, one vaccination at a time. So be a vaccinative this spring by protecting yourself and others in our Native community. Whether you're due for an updated vaccine or just getting started, all COVID vaccines offer vital protection against severe illness. For our elders over 65, the latest vaccine is recommended by the CDC to maintain protection. So spring forward with strength, Native communities. Embrace the renewal of the season and safeguard our traditions by getting vaccinated against COVID-19. For more information, including details about clinics offering free vaccines, visit vaccines.gov. That's vaccines.gov. This message is brought to you in partnership with the Minnesota Department of Health.
Signing up for $1 bus and train rides with the Transit Assistance Program, or TAP, is quick and easy. Do it straight from your computer or phone by uploading one of the pre-approved documents listed at metrotransit.org/TAP along with a copy of your ID. We'll mail you a go-to card with a full year of discounted rides. For questions or translation help, call 612-373-3333. That's 612-373-3333.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations. Ow! Hi, everyone. It's Haley Cherry, producer here on Native Roots Radio. Happy Friday. I just wanted to say a big happy birthday, Hachene Homp, Kate Beske, to our great host, my Dega, Robert Pilot. Happy birthday. We've got a new sacred animal segment here from Wendy Pilot, and we're going to just go ahead and dive right into that. Go ahead, Wendy.
Thank you, Robert. Thank you, Haley. Hey, everybody. My name is Hanajihihani. That means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajingo, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level, and it is my pleasure to work on those issues. Today, I have some fun facts. Do you remember Jonathan the tortoise? Well, Jonathan the tortoise, if you Google him, he's very interesting. He was born in 1832. He's still alive today. That makes him 192 years old. Yes, he is the oldest living land animal in the world. He has lived through the First and Second World Wars, the Russian Revolution, and witnessed seven British monarchs, and so much more. So that's so cool. If you Google Jonathan the Tortoise, you will see that a picture of him in 1832 and a picture of him in 2024. He looks exactly the same. He's just bigger. So this is the time of year all those pesty bugs come out and try to bite us, especially mosquitoes. So there's lots of natural ways to deter them so they don't come and bite you. But if mosquitoes went extinct, birds and bats would starve. If roaches went extinct, the nitrogen cycle would be disrupted. If wasps went extinct, some plants would also go extinct too. So we may not like pests, but they all have a purpose. So they do. Everybody on the earth has a purpose. We might not understand it or like it, but they do. Everybody belongs here. Also, here's a public announcement here. Do not poison emerging cicadas. Virtually everything eats them. The poison won't affect the cicadas, but it will affect dogs, cats, birds, frogs, fish, rabbits, squirrels, and people, literally everything else that might eat them or touch them. Even what doesn't eat them will be affected by what is spread around, like butterflies, bees, and other pollinators. The cicadas will come and go, so just leave them alone. I remember years ago, my cat Clyde, he was kind of an indoor-outdoor cat, but he came in one day and had a cicada in his mouth, and he just stood there in front of me, and his mouth was like rumbling, like zzz, zzz. And I went over to him, and I was like, Clyde, what do you have? And I opened his mouth, and the cicada wasn't even harmed. I mean, it was perfectly alive. He just had it in his mouth. He used to bring me presents all the time, that cat. But see, the poison would have, you know, could have hurt Clyde and me because I touched the cicada. And if I didn't wash my hands afterwards, which I definitely did, but it would have hurt both of us. So just leave them alone and don't poison them. Okay, every year I talk about this. This is I don't even know what to do. I used to carry pamphlets in my car, and I used to drive through parking lots to see if people left their kids or pets in the car, and I would, you know, check that out. And I would call the police a couple of times, and a couple of times I put a pamphlet on the, you know, window sill of the car because car temperatures get really, really hot. So I'm not going to go through all the temperatures. But if your vehicle temperature, this is a chart here. If the outside temperature is just 70 degrees, so a nice, crisp 70-degree day, in 10 minutes, the inside of your car can go to 89 degrees and within 30 minutes, 104. And dogs do not, they sweat, but they pant. So that's how they get rid of their sweating and also just a little amount on their paw pads, So, by the way, if you do see a dog that is overheated, don't put a cold towel or anything around their body. Put it around their paws. That's what they need, around their paws. Here's a fun one, yawning. So almost all vertebrae animals, including mammals, birds, reptiles, amphibians, and even fish, experience yawning. Yes, a study of yawning is called chasmology. Yawning most often occurs in adults immediately before or after sleep during tedious activities and as a result of its contagious quality. Yes, pretty much all vertebrates yawn, says Rachel Metz, a curator at the Smithsonian National Zoo. Among mammals, marine mammals, pinnipeds such as seals do, but creations such as whales and dolphins do not. And they did do a small study and they did find out that elephants also do yawning. And the elephants will even yawn if they see a human that they admire yawning. They will also yawn. Dogs will also yawn if they see their person yawning. And a funny thing that Wanda does, and dogs do, and I had to look this up because I didn't know what was happening to her. Like if she sees like another dog across the street or she's in a little bit of a stressful situation, sometimes she sneezes. Like she'll just sneeze and I'll say, oh, bless you, Wanda. But that sneeze is a signal to other animals that she's it's not a stressful situation. She doesn't mean any harm and she's being playful. So that's what that little sneeze note means. So if you ever see your dog let out a sneeze, that's what it means. Just want to remind everybody again, this is a holiday weekend. So happy Memorial Day weekend to all. Fireworks. So we've talked about how fireworks hurt the environment, hurt the land, hurt animals. A lot of animals during this time are having their babies and they get so frightened that they just run away from their nests and their dens. They get disoriented, and they leave their babies because they can't find their way back. And so the fireworks, the debris lands in the land, it lands in the ocean, it lands in the rivers and the streams and the lakes, and fish are eating them. So it's just, if you could stay away from the fireworks, Robert and I and our family decided years ago that we were going to ban or boycott the fireworks. So that's what we're going to do. But we want everyone to have a fun weekend and stay safe. And be careful out there. And Wanda, she's so cute now. She's in her little bed and she does this little ritual where she, you could probably hear her. She's like scratching around her bed and she goes around and around in circles and really scratches it hard and like fixes the blankets and everything. And I learned that dogs do that. Embedded in them, ingrained in them. To get rid of bugs and fleas and stuff in their bedding before they lay down. So that's why they do that. Everybody have a great weekend. Back to you, Robert. Back to you, Haley.
Thanks, Wendy. Hey, really, really great points on the fireworks, too. Thank you so much for saying that. Everyone be safe this weekend, especially those traveling.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR.
Join the conversation with your favorite hosts or shows anytime. Find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Share your thoughts on our social media channels wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations here for you.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.